We're in Genesis at the moment, you may have guessed. We are starting from the start. We've looked at creation, Genesis 1 and 2, at our world, and then us as people, looking at who we are as people, made in God's image, for relationship with God and each other. Then chapter 3, the fall, that was last week. How now we're broken images, like looking into a broken mirror. Our relationships with God and each other have been messed up by sin. Our rebellion against God, our wanting to live as gods of our lives instead of God. We live with the consequences of Adam's sin, and we each add to that with our own thoughts and words and actions each day. Genesis 3 is a very sad chapter of the Bible, where it all went wrong. And we come to chapter 4 now, this morning. And as we start, I want to ask if you know the song, "There Was an Old Lady Who Swallowed a Fly." Good. Ah, right. Yes. No, you've let yourself in for now. Hands up. We don't even need to do hands up. We know it. We've got great chorus. I did contemplate singing it together, but we're not going to sing it together. Can anybody tell me, young or old, hands up, why did she swallow a fly? Hands up if you know that. Why did she swallow the fly? Colin?
We don't know why.
I don't know why she swallowed a fly. Here's a question. What might happen to her? Perhaps she'll die. Perhaps that's not good, is it? Perhaps she'll die. So she swallowed a fly, and then what did she do? Hands up for this one. Then what did she do? She swallowed a fly. Then what did she do? Abigail? She swallowed a spider to catch the fly, and it goes on more and more, bigger and bigger. Do you know the animals? Let's call them out. We've got a fly and a spider. Anybody know what came next? A bird. Then what? Cat. Dog. And two more. Not a frog. What? Not frog's not bigger than a dog, David. Gets bigger and bigger each time. We got a cat, a dog, a Beth at the back. A cow, yes, and then one more, a horse. She swallowed a horse. How does it end? She's dead, of course. She swallowed the horse. She's dead, of course. It doesn't end well. Each animal, David, for reference, bigger than the last one. More and more until she dies. And I'm really sorry to say that that's a picture of Genesis chapter 4 and the chapters beyond that. Things don't get better after the fall. In fact, they get worse. Sin messes up everything. And like the old lady, it leads to death. These are sad chapters which show us our need for a rescuer, someone to pull us out of the mess we're in, and to change our hearts and our lives. Because that's the other problem with sin. Now, I could do with a volunteer to come and help me quickly. Stacey, let's go. You were quick. Hands up. You can leave Angel where it is. I need a volunteer here. You've got red food colouring responsibilities, Stacey. So we've got our vase of water here. Stacey, what I want you to do is take that, drop a little bit into the vase. So hold that, drop just a tiny bit in. Stop, perfect. Look what's happened. You can go and sit down. Well done, Stacey. Starro, look what's happened to our water. Now, did you see very quickly what happened? It didn't go, in fact, it hasn't yet. If you can still see it slightly, I'm not going to stir it about. You can see what's happening to the food colouring is it's dispersing through the water bit by bit. Sin gets everywhere. It affects everything, every part of our lives. You watch what happens by the end of the talk. Sin gets everywhere. It affects everything. There isn't one part of our lives that's unaffected by sin. Every part of our lives, by the brokenness that comes from wanting to be gods of our lives instead of God. That food colouring is going to work itself out through the whole vase of water. It's going to turn the whole vase of water red. And it gets
even worse than that, because sin leads to sin, which is what we see happening through Genesis chapter 4. Humanity's growing, verses 1 and 2. Genesis 4, verses 1 and 2. Adam and Eve have children, two sons, a shepherd and a farmer. They each bring an offering to God, verses 3 to 5. Gifts to God, a thankfulness to God for what he's given them and what he's done for them. Cain, an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. God accepts Abel's offering, but not Cain's. We're not told exactly why God accepts one gift and not the other. It might be that Cain brought some of his crops, but Abel brought the best bits. Elsewhere in the Bible, Hebrews 11:4, and 1 John 3:12, they give us some clues. Hebrews 11:4, let me read it for you. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. By faith, trusting God. Something about the attitude of Abel's heart meant that God accepted it. Out of love for God. Thankfulness to him. Praise of him. Rather than doing it because he thought he should do it, or because his brother or someone else did it. Christians, can I encourage us, young or old, this morning, to give our best to God, and because he deserves it, in thankfulness for what God's done for us in Jesus, rescuing us, giving us new life, his spirit to help us in this life, and of the hope of eternal life to come. Rather than coming to church, or serving at church, or reading our Bibles in the week when we're not at church, or whatever else we do, perhaps because, well, it's just what we've always done. Or because we're here really for other people and not God. And if you're here today not a Christian, if you're not trusting in Jesus, whether you're visiting or whether you come regularly to us, can I encourage you to stop and think about who God really is? Those things God offers you in Jesus. And to turn and trust in him. Speak to me or Trish or a trusted Christian friend if you want to find out more. God won't accept you because you come to church and do lots of things or because you're a good person. Come to him by faith, trusting that Jesus has done everything you need to be accepted by God. Back to Genesis, and Cain's not happy with God. Cain is jealous of Abel and angry that God doesn't accept his gift, which sort of reveals what's going on in Cain's heart, really. Cain's angry and he's jealous, but God doesn't give up on Cain because God doesn't give up on sinners. God doesn't give up on sinners. Sin leads to sin, but God does not give up on sinners. Cain has a choice, verses 6 to 7. How's Cain going to respond to his anger? Well, it's still not too late. Do what's right, God says in verse 7. That's the best thing. You'll feel better and you'll be accepted. Don't we know that's true? That doing the right thing is the best thing? That loving and serving others, putting their needs above our own, well, it feels hard when we want what we want. But there's a much deeper joy in that than simply getting what we want. Or when we've done something wrong, but we confess and we say sorry. You know, or when we forgive those who've wronged us. Yeah, we want to stay angry. I know there are times I really want to stay angry, to hold on to it. But there's a much deeper joy in confessing and forgiving someone than simply thinking about ourselves. And as Christians, we know how much Jesus did that for us. Not his will, but he went to the cross to die for us in our place so we can be forgiven by God. Inside Cain, there is that battle going on. Sin is pictured like a wild animal needing to be tamed and controlled. What will Cain do with those emotions? What will he do with his jealousy and his anger? Will he control them or will they control him? Verses 8 to 9, sin leads to sin. Jealousy leads to anger, leads to murderous thoughts, leads to murderous actions, leads to lies. Cain kills Abel out of jealousy and anger. Then he lies to God about it. It's terrible. Sin leads to sin, and it affects everything. Now, I've got an outline of a person here, and I may need, I haven't planned this very successfully, I may need a responsible adult to come and help me. Let's see if we can balance it on the table here. If it balances well, ooh, that's Dick's nice painting gone. There we go. Can we see that? Hopefully we can see that. Can we see that a bit better? Is that a bit more helpful for people? Let me put it at an angle, really risk causing a crash. Have we got an adult who could just stand and hold the corner of the Andrew? Just come and hold the leg so it doesn't tipple forward and take Brian's head off or something at the front. I've got an outline of a person here. And I'd love you to tell me which bits of Cain, if this is our picture of Cain, which bits of Cain did sin affect? Which bits of Cain? Hands up. Which, Josiah, one bit. Brain. His brain. Why did you say his brain? Because he thought bad things. He thought murderous thoughts. One bit of Cain affected by sin. Any other bit of Cain affected? Beth. His heart. Why was his heart affected by sin? He felt anger. He felt anger in his heart, and he thought murderous thoughts. Let's move along the line. Someone else who hasn't answered. Joshua. Another bit. His hands. What did his hands do? He killed his brother. He killed his brother. His hands were affected by sin. His hands were affected by sin. So we had his head, his heart, his hands, one other bit of his body affected by sin. One other bit of his body. For Abigail, his mouth. Why was his mouth affected by sin? Because he lied to God. His mouth was affected by sin. Lots of parts of Cain's body affected by sin. Sin leads to sin, and it affects everything. Think about our own lives. We're all different, but sin still affects all of us. Things we might get in trouble for. Okay, let's call out if we're willing to confess. We're all ages together. Just remember that. Things we've been in trouble for. Hands up if you want to confess something. Where sin has taken its hold or grappled your life in any way whatsoever, big or small, things that we've been in trouble for. When I was at school, I kicked a door. Sin affected my feet. Hands up. Anybody else? What? There we go. We stand. Thank you.
I got the cane for running in the corridor.
Stan got the cane for running in the corridor like that. So let's do the other foot, running, both feet for Stan. Affected his bottom. That wasn't his sin though, was it? That was on the cane. But actually his feet, running in the corridor. Okay, David.
When I was about 20, I got arrested for drunken disorderly.
When David was about 20, got arrested for drunken disorderly. What's that? That's probably going to be your head because you drank too much. Mouth because you drank too much. Pretty much everything for David. You've helped us out on our sin leads to sin, and sin affects everything. Andrew, let's pop this down. We'll stick it in there. We'll just pop it in the corner. I think we'll be safe to leave it upright like that.
we'll do. Yeah, that's okay. I think Brian's safe at the front if we have it down there. Thank you, Andrew. Sin affects everything. The things we do that can be seen, that we might get arrested for or in trouble for, but actually there is lots and lots of sin going on in our heads and going on in our hearts that nobody knows anything about. But God does. And we're in just as much trouble with God for those things too. Cain might lie to God and pretend he doesn't know anything, or pretend he didn't do anything, but God knows, verse 10, God knows. We can't hide anything from God. Abel's blood cries out for punishment. So Cain is, rightly we'd say, punished. Verses 11 to 14, Cain loses his job. He loses his relationship with God. It's a really terrible picture of what sin does. It promises so much. It promises pleasure. It promises satisfaction. It promises happiness. But ultimately, it only delivers pain and death. Cain's wandering is also a picture of us, naturally, how we are naturally not trusting in Jesus, naturally wandering the earth without God and without hope. We may not be walking around, but we may just be sat in our homes or schools or our workplaces, or we may be walking around town, doing whatever we're doing without God and without hope. No hope when things go wrong. No hope in pain or illness. No hope in death. No hope in God's promises. It's terrible that that is what sin does to us. Sin leads to sin. But you know what? And as we finish, here's some amazing news. Even though we've treated God terribly, wanting to be gods of our lives instead of God and not loving others rightly. Here's the last point. God does not give up on sinners. Sin leads to sin, but God does not give up on sinners. Cain doesn't deserve it, but look at our final two verses, verses 15 and 16. God hears Cain's cry and puts a mark on Cain's head. And whilst it's a sign of judgment, it's also a sign of protection. There's hope here. Like the promise of the serpent crusher at the end of chapter 3, there are small snippets of hope. Not because Cain's done anything to deserve it, but because of who God is. The God of grace. God gives Cain what he doesn't deserve. The promise of protection. It's Cain's only hope, but it is hope. And God offers us hope too, from the consequences of sin. Not because we've done anything to deserve it or can fix it ourselves. Look at the vase. Where have I put the vase with the food colouring? Somewhere. It has now finally just about worked its way through the whole vase of water. And look at it, we can't remove that food colouring from the water now. It is impossible to remove that food colouring. It is mixed in everywhere with the water. We can't remove our sin by coming to church or by being good people. We need God to do that for us. And praise God that that God is the same God today as he was that day he showed his grace to Cain. It's the same God. We can be forgiven. We can find protection in the arms of a gracious and loving God, no matter who we are or what we've done, not by doing anything to deal with our sin, but we can be forgiven because there's a better blood than Abel's. In a similar way to Abel's blood, our sin cries out for punishment against us. But there is a better blood, the blood of Jesus.
Hebrews 12:24, the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Jesus' blood crying out forgiveness for us, because Jesus has already been punished instead of us. It's amazing. Abel died and his blood condemned Cain. Jesus died and his blood offers us forgiveness if we will turn and trust in Jesus. Sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you. Will we turn and trust in Jesus? Whether for the first time today or with fresh confession this day, the one who has overcome sin for us. Or will sin overcome us? Trusting in Jesus, there's certain hope for eternity. The battle with sin was won at the cross. And there is hope for today. His Spirit fights for us in the daily battles we face. Sin leads to sin, but God does not give up on sinners. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you now, each broken images, none of us loving you as you deserve. We ask your forgiveness. We ask your Spirit to help us battle our sin each day, that we might turn from our sin and follow your word, trusting in Jesus' blood for our forgiveness. Thank you that whoever we are and whatever we've done, there's always the chance to turn to Jesus, in whose name we now pray. Amen.